Chapter 31. Then. They leave tomorrow. The month is over and there's no reason for either of them to stay longer, star patients that they are. It's a weird feeling, but Adele can't help smiling as she packs. Freedom from Westlands. And David to marry at the end of his university term. Despite everything that's happened, her future looks good. Her only worry is Rob. He's making jokes about it, but she can see that he doesn't want to go back to his sister. Not at all. It hurts her to see him almost vulnerable. It also hurts to leave him. It's her only sadness as she folds her clothes into her small suitcase, but it's a sharp one. "Want to go down by the lake?" she asks. He's sitting on her bed watching her pack and, for the first time since she's known him, he looks like a little boy rather than an almost man. His dark hair hangs over his face, but she can see the glint of the braces he hates so much on his teeth. His T-shirt is still iron, though. She's never known anyone to press a T-shirt or their jeans before. Maybe he even irons his socks. Perhaps it's one small bit of control he has in what seems like an uncontrolled life to Adele. One kink in his wildness. He pulls something from his top pocket and grins. A neatly rolled joint. The last of the weed. We might as well. Maybe they'll catch us toking and we'll have to stay longer. She knows he kind of hopes for it. She knows he'd love for them to have to stay longer, and part of her wishes for the same, because she can't imagine not seeing Rob every day. But she's missed David so much, and she's fizzing with the excitement of seeing him and kissing him and marrying him, with no parents around to disapprove. Rob suspects that this is the end of their friendship, but she knows it isn't. Maybe Rob can come and live with them at some point when they're married. David will like him, she's sure of that. How could he not? Rob is too fabulous for anyone not to like. She grabs his hand. It feels good in hers. She's almost forgotten what holding David's hand feels like, and that feels like a betrayal. But David isn't here, and Rob is, and they do love each other in their own way. "What are we waiting for?" she says. It's not so warm today. The wind on the water carrying a chill that bites every now and then. But they don't care as they sit under the tree where they first met and pass the spliff between them. She'll miss this too. She can't imagine David ever wanting to get high. She can't tell him she's done drugs here. He'd be horrified. Another secret that's hers and Rob's. "Maybe I'll burn the notebook now," Rob says. "A ceremonial farewell." As ever, his tone is light and his eyes sparkle. But she knows he's down. She squeezes his hand tightly. "No, keep it. You never know, your dreams might hold more surprises." She inhales, enjoying the relaxing buzz, and then passes the joint back to him. "And when you come to visit, you can tell me about them, where you've been, who you've seen." She smiles at him. "You'd better include me in some of those dreams." "Back at ya," he says. "You're going to be seeing enough of dreary David. You don't need to dream about him too." She gives him a playful punch on the arm and he laughs, even though he means it. It'll be different when they meet. How could she love them both if they can't love each other? It's not possible. "You okay about going back to your house?" he asks. "I think so." She's not sure, but it's part of her therapy plan. Face the music, as it were. Go back to the source of the trauma. Spend some time there. There are plenty of rooms that aren't damaged, and the burnt-out ones have been cleaned up and temporary repairs done. David's organised it. "I guess he can now you've given him all your money," Rob says dryly. "No, I haven't," she says, exasperated. "I keep telling you that. It's only for now, it's easier. His uni fees and everything, and the stuff with the house. I couldn't do that from in here. And on top of that, it's too much to think about. I'm happy he's taken it on. Let it go, Rob. And don't tell anyone. It's been difficult enough for David since the fire without this reaching the newspapers. Okay, okay. I just worry about you. This is no time for their first argument, and she knows he knows that. He pauses. I'll worry about you even more in that big old house by yourself. I'll be fine. It's only for a few weeks. People will be checking in on me, some of the locals, my solicitors, and of course a doctor. Someone's even going to bring food and clean for me when needed. David says he'll come at weekends when he can. A whole new life ahead for you, he says wistfully. Think of me back on the shitty estate, still trapped with my fucking awful sister. Is it that bad? She asks. He still never opened up about his life, even though she has tried gently prodding him too over the past week or so. It is what it is. He tries to blow smoke rings, but the wind breaks them up before they're half formed and he gives up. I don't want to think about it till tomorrow. You can call me, you know, she says. I'll give you my mobile number. If things are shit, call me. Come and stay for a few days. Oh, I'm sure David would love that. David's at university, she says, and then in a moment of rebellion adds, and it's my bloody house. They grin at each other then, and she can see that he loves her, and it makes her feel warm inside, if a little complicated. David is everything to her, but now there is also Rob in her heart. She would never have felt so much better by now without him. She'd probably have been locked up for good. I mean it, she says, a rush of affection enveloping her. Whenever. Okay, he says. Maybe I will. She hopes he will. She hopes he'd call her rather than be miserable. But he's proud, Rob. She knows that. As proud as David in a different way. You promise, she says, leaning forward so their faces are close and her hair is brushing his cheek. I promise, my beautiful Sleeping Beauty princess. I promise. Good. She kisses him on the nose. That's that settled then.